Yeah, I'm still gonna sit here so that Peaches doesn't just lick him to death. That's okay. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking about Andrew Lloyd Webber's Jesus Christ Superstar. Nick and I just saw it at the Orpheum, and oh boy.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Heya.
And Tim Wick.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus
Who
fucking
are
Christ.
You, what have you sacrificed?
Oh,
okay,
boy.
So this week's episode is about the majesty of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's right, Eric Knight. It's an episode just for you.
Oh, boy.
No, we are very excited. So Nick and I saw Jesus Christ Superstar at the Orpheum Theater, part of Broadway Across America.
It's a traveling show.
We have the touring Broadway show season tickets.
Yeah, so we didn't like pay money and choose to see it. It was part of the package. We opted to not sell these tickets.
Right.
I was very excited because I love Jesus Christ Superstar. I loved the movie as a kid, and we did this show when I was in college. I was the prop master, so I wasn't in the show, but I very much appreciated it.
Well, of course you weren't in the show. There's like one woman's role.
Right.
You know, the odds of you actually getting cast.
And that director wasn't somebody who often cast women as men.
And
didn't. Although I will say, Judas was a woman.
What?
Did I just blow your mind?
What?
Guess what else, Tim? Jesus was black.
What?
That's right.
Is this a show you saw or in your college show?
In my college show. No, in the show we saw.
So... I haven't seen the movie. I haven't seen the stage show.
Have you heard the album?
No.
No.
Okay. I still haven't.
That's true.
I knew a couple things. Like, I know, like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
And I knew the beginning part that Judas says, he asks some question or whatever that is, like, pop culturally relevant that I can't remember. Because the show had so little impact on
me. Yeah, so like I have a tendency to sing around the house, Jesus Christ Superstar, just who the fuck do you think you are, which is something that we used to joke about in my college show.
Right.
All right, so we go to this show. And Tim, yeah. I know that we've told you about the show before, but I'm going to tell the listeners. So Jesus Christ Superstar, when you picture it in your mind, what does it look like? Is it a riot of color?
It should be.
Yeah.
But here's the thing to remember about Jesus Christ Superstar. It was not a musical first.
Oh,
it was an album first. It was a concept album.
Oh, my God. I did not know
this. The stage play came after the concept album was popular.
Okay, that's
interesting.
Amazing.
Is the music the same or was it radically changed?
The music is the same. But now imagine... You wrote a concept album, and now you have to stage it.
Okay, so that makes what we saw make a little more sense, to be honest.
Just a little.
Just a little. So what we saw was, the stage is set with just one main piece where the orchestra is up on the second level, and it's just kind of like a wooden structure, you know?
Sure.
And
then there's scaffolding.
Like scaffolding. Then there's a giant...
That's super common, by the way.
There's a giant cross-shaped stage... on the floor that is illuminated
like
with lights, like a thrust. It's like cross, like lights all the way around the cross.
Sure.
It's a lit up
jutting
cross.
Out at an angle. It's pretty like a narrow walkway.
Yeah, it's probably about as wide as two grown people across.
Okay.
To could walk across it safely. And then, so the people, that was the whole stage. So the people start coming on stage and they're all dressed in monochrome gray and white flowing jersey clothing.
It looked like a Calvin Klein ad from the 90s.
Yeah, like a bunch of people doing a bad Ray cosplay, right?
Oh,
like,
one woman was straight up wearing a Ray costume.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like when she laid down on the ground, it was like, huh, those wraps look familiar.
Yeah, so, and they start making their way up on stage with like big acting 101 movement. Like,
while they're
really
playing,
while they're playing
the overture.
While they're playing the overture. But they're carrying on the instruments and the equipment. Like, they're carrying it with them. They're bearing it up onto the stage. The speaker stands, and the mic stands, and the microphones, and the guitars. And then Jesus...
Like roadies.
Yes, now...
Then how is there a guitar?
There were guitars throughout the whole thing because everyone played their own instruments. Jesus Christ played guitar whenever, while singing all his songs.
Whenever Jesus is proselytizing... And spreading, you know, the good word or whatever, he's doing it with a guitar in his hands.
And also while a handheld mic.
And yes.
Oh, so he's like a cool youth minister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He even has an undercut ponytail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had a man bun that when he let it down later, it looked crimped and it was glorious. But yeah. So no one is lavved. A lav mic is the one that is like taped to your face. It's like a headset. So everyone is just holding handheld mics the whole show.
Okay. Frequently using a stand, which were used as creative props here and there.
Yeah. But so like...
And not so creative props
here and there. Anytime someone sang a song, anytime someone had a solo, they were just singing in front of a microphone and doing no acting. So, like, that entire Garden of Gethsemane song was done with just Jesus in front of a microphone stand playing the guitar and not, like, acting at all. And barely being understood because he was also playing the guitar and was out of breath.
Well, and it really wasn't that kind of Broadway stage singing where they're kind of singing for, like, a type of clarity,
and they enunciate all their words.
It was more like a rock show type singing, where it was like that, I don't know, like, Eddie Vedder-ish mumble.
Jesus Christ Pearl Jam Superstar.
Right.
Well, Jesus Christ Superstar is it's called a rock opera.
So, yes, I mean, but you can still understand all the words.
I mean, ideally. Yeah.
So, all right, so besides all that, we'll just fast forward, because I want to talk about kind of the themes and what it means to be an atheist and all this, to see this show. But, handheld mics. When
is
Judas,
the show still the whole show?
They did the whole show in 90 minutes.
They're in Gap khaki.
The whole time. Yeah. And they also cut a lot of stuff down by speeding up a lot of songs. Like
90 minutes, no intermission.
So like time and a half. Like time and a half on a lot of these songs.
Try not to get worried. Try not to
hold on to you. It wasn't a ballad at all. So like I Don't Know How to Love Him was like, I don't know how to love him, how to move him. It was just like rushed. The whole thing felt rushed. I mean, yeah.
I could understand
wanting... The girl only gets two songs. She shouldn't get any time.
Yeah, well, no, and I can understand wanting to speed through Mary Magdalene songs because neither of them are good.
So, yes, that's true. But so, okay, so we get to the culmination, and so they're doing the whipping after the torture of Jesus.
Wait, I forgot.
So
before the whipping, when Judas, who, just worth noting, black actor...
Traditional white Jesus, black Judas.
Right.
Like Yes.
So Judas, before he commits suicide, he is singing on a corded mic, a mic with a red cord, singing around the cross. He climbs his way up to the second level of the scaffolding while singing, and eventually he throws the mic over the top of the next level of scaffolding as the lights cut.
And the part where Judas would hang himself.
And we're left with the mic swinging from the scaffold to represent, like, him hanging himself.
Sure.
Yes.
And 'cause, so, now, first of all, I applaud them for not using the imagery of hanging a black man on stage. That I'm down with that.
And we normally, like, our show, we did it behind a scrim, you know, so that, like, you still saw someone get hung, but it wasn't, like, in person on the stage.
Yeah.
Yes.
But all the same... They hung a mic.
And it was very confusing because they didn't... If you didn't know the show, you wouldn't know what just happened.
Right.
So, the very next scene, that same mic cord is used for what Molly
it
was...
It is tied around Jesus' wrists and he is pulled back and forth as if he's being, like tortured that way with this microphone cord. He is also then whipped. Now, the whipping, the 39 lashes... So it's 39 measures is what we're counting out. 39 measures. And on every whip crack, so the first whip crack, a man comes over and makes like a dramatic, like he's whipping, and he throws a handful of gold glitter at Jesus Christ. and there's a whip crack sound.
There's someone up on the second level hitting a wood block, striking a wood block.
Yeah.
It then, sounded like a like those whipper snapper, those
yeah,
cheap
fireworks. Yeah, I thought it was one of those poppers for a while, yeah. And then they do it 39 more times. 39 full handfuls of glitter are thrown at Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Who's being restrained with the mic cord Judas hung himself with.
Who, after a while, who is acting as though he's being whipped with every lash and is flopping on the ground in a lot of pain and just so sparkly. So beautiful and sparkly. Oh. And he's got all the fake blood.
Well, so yeah. He had come out with all these grievous wounds, so he's covered in stage blood.
Right, theoretically by this point he's been
tortured for days.
The stage blood is so covering his torso, and also fairly, there's got to be some latex appliance or something on him, adding some depth to it. But the glitter is just
it's sticking stuck. To it.
And filling. And it's so much. He starts to look like a large koi. He is so glittery and flopping. And like, so after the sixth handful of glitter whipping, we kind of stopped laughing because we were laughing at first. We stopped laughing because it was like, okay, they got to 12. And I'm like, Jesus, how many of these are they going to actually do? How many are they going to do the whole thing? Then they got to 20, and I was like, wow. By 23, I was laughing again. I was laughing again real hard.
Oh, my God.
And then I stopped again for a little while. And then I got to 34, and I was like, oh, my God, this is insane.
Here we are, home stretch.
It's so long. And so he is covered in glitter, and there's glitter everywhere. And so then they're doing the whole, like, crucify, crucify him, crucify, crucify him. So they grab a speaker stand, and they pull the speaker off. They grab a microphone stand and they're like, "Utini," like holding it over their head. And I turn to Nick and I go, "No fucking way." And he's like, "No, they're doing it." And they lash the microphone stand to the speaker stand, and that's what they crucify him on.
They prop it up on the speaker monitor, on the big thrust cross. They build a crucifix out of
audio equipment.
And they tie him to it.
He lays down, and then it slowly ratchets up by some mechanism. So he's slowly, imagine this, like he's like on the ground, he's slowly raising up.
Like Dracula lifting from the coffin.
But he's so sparkly that he's he's just thrown up. He's glistening, and he's beautiful. I am both hands over my mouth, biting my cheeks, shaking with laughter at this point, so that I'm not just howling with laughter at this crucifixion.
The Thorn of Crowns also, by the way, spray-painted gold and glittery.
And they, like, jam it on his head, and he goes, "No!" And, like moves his head up. It was the most acting he'd done the whole show, by the way. So, as we're watching this...
There's no way this isn't intentional. Right.
It's all very intentional.
You don't wear sticky stage blood
and
throw glitter on somebody.
I thought maybe
you want the glitter to stick to the
They made a choice.
I thought maybe the handheld mics might have been a sound issue, but our friend of the show, Timmy Iverson, saw it, and so did Brianna, and they both said the handheld mics were part of that was part of it. One other moment was they had these searchlights that were just being flashed out over the crowd for some fucking reason. And at first they did it down below and we're up in the balcony. And I actually nudged Nick and I'm like, those poor bastards are just getting shined lights right in their fucking faces, right? Well, then they did it up to us. And one caught me in the eyes and not trying to be funny, I was like, Jesus Christ! Like, because it just blinded me. It was great. But right away we were like, we got to talk about this show because, like, as atheists here, and this is very much a spectacle, and, like, one of the reasons I was trying to tell Nick on the way home, I'm like, I want you to watch the movie because I love this show as an atheist because it's Jesus the man questioning everything and being like, look, I know, I mean, you told me all this was going to happen, but, like, I guess now that I'm in it, it's so much worse than I could have imagined.
I had trouble figuring out what was going on, not just because of the audio issues, but because it was very unclear in the direction several times where I turned to Molly and I was like, what's happening? And she'd be like, he's denying Christ. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I know that story because I'm familiar with the Bible and the you know, these stories.
Like, who's he denying him to? Reporters?
Like a reporter comes by and that's who...
It was the people who were playing the, like, I don't know, I guess the Roman
ensemble
guards
cast.
Or whatever.
Yep.
Not the, what do we do about Jesus of Nazareth?
That's
not
a whole
those
other
guys.
Thing.
That's the Pharisees.
Not the Pharisees, but the Roman guards. Who apparently, when they're holding their masks, are reporters, but when they're wearing their masks, are Roman guards? Like, I don't know.
I do. Shout out to the Pharisee that was somewhere between, like, high-pitched 80s hairband rock squealer and riff-raff from Rocky Horror, who
was paired with basically John Coffey from the Green Mile.
Who had, like, the deepest fucking voice ever. And so it was quite a dramatic...
The Pharisees was one of the best parts, to be honest. Like,
they were good in terms of spectacle, which I can appreciate.
Oh, Pontius Pilate was played by a guy who was doing him very much like Adam Lambert, with all the eyeliner and the glam rock, but then also was doing a fake British accent for reasons unknown.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes he was doing a fake British accent.
So... the play slash the movie, the movie,
which the traditional,
the original film version.
Was that before the play?
No.
Okay.
But the film is very much this idea. I mean, it's like this hippy dippy, like Summer of Love movie.
Yep.
Everybody's super colorful.
And we're all following him.
But it's also, you know, it's like a bunch of people pull up in the middle of the desert, get out of a bus, put on a show that is unquestionably them putting on a show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see some of the inspiration there in the sense that that opening overture is them building the set.
Oh, for sure.
Except they don't build the set out of guitars and mic stands.
But when that first started happening, them building the set, Nick can attest, I was excited for the first 20 minutes of the show.
Right.
I was like, and then it just got so boring because no one was acting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, it makes a certain amount of sense.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is dumb, and it's like, well, they had a concept that they just decided was a good idea without anybody really thinking about it at all.
I get what it was trying to be, because I'm culturally familiar enough with Jesus Christ Superstar to understand that it is this super hippie, like, you know, what if Jesus was like a celebrity, like a rock star type guy?
He
that's the idea, and I can see that they're modernizing that concept.
Yes.
The dance was also a very modern dance, and I dug some of that.
But it was a ham-fisted metaphor.
Yeah.
It was like you were getting clobbered, or like what the crucifying him on the microphone stand, speaker stand thing was like, I just wanted to stand up and be like, we get it. Like, I mean, like, yes, we get it. Like, fame and fandom will be your undoing. We get it. But I wanted to say...
I mean, if we didn't get it from the first song in the musical, certainly get it by now.
And so, like, I guess what I wanted to talk about was just this, the idea of Jesus Christ Superstar, and how, like, I think it's so... It is a very Christian thing, but at the same time, it's I can see Christians considering it blasphemous as all fuck. Because,
and they did.
Yeah, I imagine.
They did.
But they're probably, on a whole, more cool with it on average now than they were when it originally came out.
I mean, depends on the Christian, I think.
Yeah. It depends. Now,
I'm not saying all Christians hate it, but
by today's standards, it is not an outrageous play.
Idea, even. It's something that youth pastors have been preaching now for a while, right?
Right?
Jesus was just a guy, just like us, man, you know, and he had his followers who were
Skateboard I ride on is like Jesus and his cross.
Yeah.
You know, I bear it with me everywhere I go.
Yeah, you know how, like, you have your group of friends? Like, you've been friends forever, right? You'd do anything
for
them?
That was Jesus and his disciples.
Yeah, if one of them betrayed you, that would be really hard, right?
Yeah,
like,
man.
That would cut. Yeah. And so,
especially if it was for 12 dimes.
Yeah. 12. Oh, the silver. Okay, so when Judas accepted the silver from the Pharisees, it was a large chest of, like, silver paint, we think? Like, glitter paint? And he just thrust his hands into it.
Not glitter.
But
like, opaque.
Very glittery.
Silver paint. Like, Silver Surfer.
Yeah. Right? He plunged his hands into it and pulled them out, and then they were covered in silver. And then he spent the rest of the show, up until he hung himself, Lady Macbething in the background and trying to wipe it up. Like, wipe it off his hands and making it, and it got spread up his arm.
By the time by the time he hangs himself, it's like up to his shoulders, with silver. Very opaque.
Very, very, very unclear metaphor. I don't know what it was
What are they trying to say? I don't get it.
In any event, I don't know. So maybe we don't talk a lot. We try to do episodes about religious stuff, but I know on this, we, all three of us, have talked about how we don't want to just be getting on episodes and being like, and another thing about how Christians suck lately, right? Like, but this was very much, I felt like, a good way to talk about what it feels like to be an atheist at a fairly religious thing, but it was very funny, and it was a very good time.
I laughed quite a bit I didn't feel like my laughter was disrespectful
no.
to religion. If anything, it might have been a little disrespectful to theater, but honestly, like, I don't think they could blame me. And as an atheist, I didn't really have a problem with it. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I wasn't like...
It didn't feel preachy by any means.
I think the thing about Jesus Christ Superstar that is effective is the way it humanizes Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Gethsemane song, it is biblically accurate.
And I'm so sad he fucked it up. I need you to hear it because it's so good.
Yeah. But it's just like Jesus saying, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah. And no one will even just, like, will anyone just stay up with me tonight? Because, like, I'm scared. I'm fucking scared, you guys. And everyone's like, nah, you got this. You're Christ.
Because all of them get drunk. We're all drunk on Christ.
Oh, they didn't get drunk in this one. They put on headphones, and I guess that meant they couldn't hear him anymore.
Yeah.
They were just
chilling in the background.
Putting on headphones when he said their names, even though, like, it was very, that was another thing. It was like, okay, I guess... If you put headphones on, you can't do anything.
It humanizes Judas.
Yes.
In that one understands where Judas is coming from.
And
Judas had the better songs.
There's some good homosexual undercurrents there. Oh, like love. Yeah. And
Judas
like,
was so jealous of Mary Magdalene like the entire time.
Yeah,
like I dig that. Yeah. I like that interpretation. It's good Jesus fanfic.
And like what I love about it too is like imagine like your best friend in the whole world who, you know, you got a little like, you know, hetero guy crush on, right? He's just, you look up to him. And like now he's saying he's God. And now he's saying he's like the prophet. And you're like, bitch, come on. Like, I've known you forever. Yeah. Like, it's just
I used to beat you in Super Mario Brothers 2 player.
Yeah,
like, come on,
it's
man.
It's just you and me. For real?
God would not lose at Super Mario Brothers 2 player.
Yeah, right?
God would win every time.
Anyway, if we're in Minnesota, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's done at this point. But by all means, if you have not seen Jesus Christ Superstar, go find the movie. It is. I think it's great. If you're a musical theater nerd, if you're an atheist, if you just enjoy watching silly 70s shit, it's fun.
I'm actually going to suggest, you know, the original version is...
The album?
The album.
That's good.
And the album is, by the way, it has Murray Head as Judas. Murray Head, if you did not know, also is the guy who sings One Night in Bangkok on the Chess soundtrack, which, by the way, Chess... Also a concept album.
Well, that makes a lot more sense.
It was a stage play.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, anyway, Murray Head is Judas. It's a really good album. And if you listen to the album first.
Yeah.
And then you watch the way it gets staged, you can start to understand how this thing wasn't written to be on stage.
It's like every time you look at it, you can't understand why it was a concept album before it was a play. Sorry, that's from the show, sort of. Nick, did you have anything
else
to add?
No, I'm great.
All right, should we do 5 questions?
Let's do it.
All right, I've got 5 questions from friend of the show, Rebecca Hensler.
Hey,
Rebecca.
All right, Rebecca says, question 1, do you or did you ever compulsively count anything? And if so, what? when I was a kid, I wouldn't say compulsively, but I really liked looking for patterns and numbers. If I saw, I pay a lot of attention to license plates, and so I would be like, oh, I saw 3817 license plates today. Hmm. That can't be a coincidence. Like, just, like, little things like that. But I don't think I counted things compulsively.
I'm trying to remember.
Do you ever count anything compulsively?
No. I don't have a lot of compulsions, I wouldn't say. No.
Yeah. Tim, nothing you can think
of? I really can't think of anything that I've done that kind of compulsive behavior.
Yeah.
That kind of compulsive
behavior.
Yeah, not
counting, but for me, I notice patterns and numbers a lot, even still. Question 2. If you could have the effects of exercise without actually doing anything physical, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm a diabetic. Fuck yeah.
Yeah? I like to do the exercise, but I mean, I guess if it was like, if I could be like... target these muscles and they get stronger, like,
yeah.
I mean, why not, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, why wouldn't you?
I mean, it's not necessarily in lieu of doing it yourself.
Okay, I will caveat, as long as it isn't you have to do surgery or get injections.
Oh.
As long as it isn't, if it was just wishing it,
Sure.
Yeah.
Magic,
like,
yes.
Like you have cellular control over your body.
Yeah. Magic or mutant powers, yes. Scientific intervention, no.
Let's say.
That's basically the concept to one of my favorite comics.
What's that?
The Luther Strode series.
Oh,
yeah. It's that whole, like, he reads a comic that's like, you know, Hero of the Beach, like, use this fitness method and get buff. And it turns out that is actually like a a last starfighter type recruiting program to find people who have this genetic adept ability to control their bodies and manipulate them cellularly. It's
That's
dope.
That's great. That's
he makes
great.
Himself buff with the power of his mind.
Okay, sweet. Question three. Do you cook from recipes or do you improvise? First question. And then there's a follow-up if you improvise. So do you cook from recipes or improvise, Nick?
I cook from recipes if it's something new. If it's something familiar or I'm adapting something, I improvise.
All right, Tim?
Like, mostly improvise.
Okay, I also am an improviser. So if you improvise or modify, what's the best dish you invented? So I will say I often make things randomly, or I throw things together, and I always call it unicorn whatever.
Yeah.
And I made this unicorn soup that was so good, and I don't know how I made it. The base was another soup that was like, we only had a little bit left, and then like I used chicken stock, and there were like three kinds of meat, and like potatoes that were left over from the other night, and like, and it was carrots, and it was like this thick, there was a roux in there, and it was this like thick golden broth that was like, it was all these vegetables, and it was so fucking good, and there's no way I'll ever be able to recreate it.
The bone broth was made with wings we got from four different places and had made ourselves.
Exactly. So it was like, it's completely impossible to replicate.
Yeah.
And it was so goddamn good, and as soon as we tasted it, we were like, this is terrible, because we're never going to be able to have it again.
Never going to be able to eat it again.
Yeah.
My chili has a very broad recipe.
But you came up with it.
That I came up with.
Yep. Chili's amazing.
But it's a little different every time, but you know, it has a basic sort of recipe kind of thing.
Yep, that's good. Your chili is what I was thinking for you.
I make a killer stir fry.
Mm.
Pat will attest to this, I believe. But one of the things that I did, like, once I decided I wanted to add some flavor, because I put water chestnuts in there.
Yeah.
And so I took the sauce that I make in the stir fry, and I put the water chestnuts in there about 2 hours ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Chopped up garlic, grated up ginger,
mm-hmm.
and just leave the water chestnuts to soak in that for like 2-3 hours before I cook it. Holy shit.
That sounds incredible.
The water chestnuts are the best water chestnuts.
They soak it up.
That
sounds
great.
Yeah.
They spent 2 hours just getting gingery and garlicky.
That sounds amazing.
So good. All right,
question four. What is a good name for an octopus?
Hank.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I know to say that because it's the name of the octopus in Finding Dory.
Oh, okay.
But
that's good.
That's a good name for an octopus. I mean, it really was.
Good.
I'm like, Hank?
Yeah.
That's a good name for an octopus.
Yeah. I like Ollie.
Oh, sure.
I like the alliteration or the assonation of that.
Yeah. I like, you know, Henry would be good in addition to Hank.
Yeah.
Anything that starts with a ha noise that sounds like hand, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good octopus naming.
Yeah. All right. Question five. You are stuck on a small island 100 yards from shore. There are three ways off the island. 1. Climb a 100-foot tower to a narrow 100-yard bridge. 2. Walk through a pitch-dark tunnel for 100 yards. 3. Swim 100 yards. How do you choose to get off the island?
Well,
so do you want to climb a 100-foot tower to a narrow 100-yard bridge?
Are we presuming the 100-yard bridge has handrails?
I will say no.
Doesn't matter.
It's a narrow bridge.
Doesn't matter.
2. Walk through a pitch. It has a frayed rope. I'll say 2. Right. Walk through a pitch dark tunnel for 100 yards, or 3. Swim 100 yards.
So, if the tunnel is free of tripping hazards and debris, like it's a safe tunnel to walk
but
down.
But it's completely dark. You have no idea what's in there.
Fine. I do that.
Dark tunnel.
If it's not safe to walk through, if I'm worried about tripping and
we'll
like breaking a leg,
everything is safe.
If it wasn't, I would swim. It's no problem. I'd take my time. I'd get there. I'm a good swimmer.
But pitch dark tunnel's your first choice.
I fucking hate bridges, man.
All right.
And heights I'm okay on, but not a fan.
I would climb the 100-foot tower to the narrow 100-yard bridge, or I would swim. But I worry that I wouldn't be. I would get tired with the swimming. 100
you shouldn't
yards,
swim.
100 yards, yeah, I don't know. I'm not very good. I like swimming, but I'm not like a strong distance swimmer.
Yeah, that's my tough thing, too. It's like I'm not a super strong distance swimmer, and 100 yards is a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Heights bother me, but the funny thing is that water has a very strange effect. You don't feel height
mm-hmm.
above water the way you do above land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your perspective is all...
Yeah.
There's
so that's
no,
what I was asking.
Yeah.
Is like, if there's handrails, if there aren't handrails, then fuck that. That's
I'm gonna say you get.
Shit.
I'm gonna say you get 100-yard frayed rope from one end to the other.
fuck no.
And it's saggy.
It could be concrete,
it's
and I still would
rail.
Not
it's
choose
not a
it.
Stiff rail. And
I
it's
know.
A,
I think I'd probably go for the pitch dark tunnel. Ooh, just because right. I don't have a ton of confidence in my swimming
ability. I have gotten over my phobia of the dark, but I'm still not as good in the dark. The dark would be my last resort because of the possibility of spiders. That for me anyway. All right.
You wouldn't even know.
That was five questions, Rebecca Hensler.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.
We named our octopuses.
We did. We named our octopuses, and we also talked about Jesus Christ. You know what? This was a good episode, everybody. We did a good job. Thank you all so much. If you just heard that, and you were like, I've got five questions, all five of your questions could be like that. Weird D&D-style questions. We will answer any questions. Send us your five questions to fivequestions@geeksthoughtgod.com.
You could ask us if we want to have glitter thrown on us.
You could ask us if we're Jesus Christ. We will answer. This is the thing. No question too small, no question too big.
Or weird.
Or weird, true. I love the weird ones. I also love the basic ones. What's your favorite color? We're into it. Whatever you want. Don't overthink it. Just ask five questions.
We're not going to answer any of those questions she just said unless you ask them.
That's true. A lot of times we do most of our posting on Facebook. If you guys don't follow us on Facebook, let me tell you, that's where the action is. We share memes. We talk about stuff. There's good conversations happening over there. So please visit us there. We're Geeks Without God on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. You know, most of that's just the place we talk about things and retweet now and then, but we'd love to see you there too. Thank you all so much, and have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Jesus Christ, superstar.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
If you gotta go, I'll record it for you later. Fine.